Hello and welcome to the second episode of the First Man Photography Podcast. I'm going to call this the second episode. There are going to be some bits out of the vlogs every now and again, but I'm not going to count them as a proper episode. So this is the second First Man Photography Podcast. So I'm excited about it. I'm overwhelmed with the response that I've had already from the podcast, or at least the number of people that have subscribed. If you've subscribed and listened to the podcast so far, I am absolutely grateful. I'm humbled because there's been almost 2,000 people subscribed so far, and I couldn't have asked for more. Really, really brilliant. And I'm excited to see where the podcast goes. I want to take it where you want it to go, really. So if you're listening and you're willing to give me a little bit of feedback, I'm trying to figure out the best place to do that. Maybe Twitter, podcaster Twitter, I don't know. If you want to follow me and get in touch on Twitter, then do so. And if you want to get in touch anywhere else and let me know what you think of the podcast, then do that as well. But I'm at Adam Carnach on Twitter. You should be able to find me through the First Man Photography website on Twitter. But that's where you can find me on Twitter, at Adam Carnach. So with that in mind, I thought I would just spend a few minutes just giving you a little bit of my backstory. It's not something I've really talked about on the YouTube channel up to now, but as the YouTube channel starts to grow, I'm getting more subscribers, all that sort of thing. It seems to be something that people want to hear about. So it's not, I've got nothing to hide, but it's just maybe in the past that I haven't thought that my backstory is particularly interesting, but maybe it is. Who knows? Anyway, I was born and raised in the northeast of England in a little town called Gisborough. You may have seen that on a few of the vlogs where I've sort of mentioned being from that North Yorkshire area. But all in all, I consider myself a Teesider. I went to school in Redcar, hung out with a lot of people from Teesside. I'm a Middlesbrough football fan, so Teesside is kind of where I sort of consider myself to be. But at the same time, I did spend a lot of my youth going up into the hills of North Yorkshire, and I was building dens, I was riding bikes, doing photography, all that sort of thing when I was younger. So the great outdoors, mostly in North Yorkshire and the Lake District, were a massive part of my upbringing. My parents were both teachers, and they separated when I was very young, which sort of shaped the rest of my life. It created a fair few issues over the years. They were both very good to my brother and I. There was never any issues of falling out with them or anything. We were well loved, but when your parents separate, it does create some issues. And it, times were difficult at moments there, but and I, like I say, it shaped the rest of my life. But I won't dwell on that issue too much. One thing it did sort of make me do, though, was try out lots of different things and find my own interests, because we didn't sort of have that core family time. So I spent a lot of time with my brother. We had a lot of time when it was just the two of us, and exploring different interests seemed to just come out of that. So I was always into science and computers and tech and things like that, sort of following in my dad's footsteps. He was always well into all that sort of stuff. Music as well formed a massive part of that. I've played instruments all my life. So there's always sort of been a marriage of my love of technology and art at the same time. And I think that's eventually why I've sort of got into photography, because it marries those two things up absolutely perfectly. You've got the sort of technical aspects of photography, and there are some, as I've mentioned before. And then on the other hand, it's a beautiful, beautiful art with lots of ways to express yourself, things to visualize, lots of artistic elements to it as well that really separates one photographer from another. I've talked before about whether it's a technical skill or not. I believe it is an art more so than anything else. There are technical aspects, though, like I said. Before I sort of talk a little bit more about my photography, from there I went to university and I was doing a sciencey computer type thing. That probably would have seen me, had I stuck at it, that is, go to become like a games designer or something like that. A lot of time in front of a computer, with a lot of lads. There wasn't many girls in and around that course, so that was something I was interested in when I was 18 years old as well. So it wasn't quite right for me. I couldn't see myself spending the rest of my life coding sat behind a computer. So that didn't quite fit. So I dropped out and went on to do other things, including photography. I've always been into photography. It's something I've always done, right from the inspiration that my dad gave me when I was younger. Obviously, back in those days, I'm 36 years old now. Back in the days when I was younger, it was purely film. And my dad finished being a teacher, actually, when I was, I can't remember how old I was, maybe 10, 8 or 9, I don't know. Something like that. My dad finished being a teacher and went to work for a company. And I don't know how this came about, but he ended up having this mobile darkroom, basically, which was a van with just a darkroom in the back of it. And it was really professionally set up by the company he worked for. I don't know how it came about, but he would drive that van, that mobile darkroom, around to different schools, teaching kids about photography and about developing film, all that kind of thing. And it was really, really interesting. And that sort of got me into it. I did a lot of that with my dad, and that sort of love of photography never left me. I've talked about it before in one of the vlogs. I did lots of landscapes when I was on holidays and things like that. But when you're 16, 17, there are other things going on. I was always very much into sports as well. And then I sort of thought for a little while, I'm sort of really focused on rugby, which I was pretty good at. So all those sort of things happened. So one of the things that I do get asked a lot is, are you a professional photographer? Yes, I am, to a point. I think if you're making money from your photography, then there's an element that you are professional, because that's the very definition of being professional. However, if you're talking about where my income comes from, then I am currently semi-professional. I have shot for a long time where I've made money. I've done weddings, I've done sort of product stuff. I'm selling prints with my water drops. The water drop photography is getting more and more popular all the time. It's sort of slightly more unique than the landscape stuff that I do. And that seems to be really taking off and doing well for me. And that's kind of what the sort of First Man Photography channel was built on as well, to some extent. I'm doing weddings, things like that, all the sort of stuff that's building up. And if I didn't have a young family, then I would have been a full-time professional quite a long time ago. Photography is difficult. There's a bit of a grind to it if you want to be a full-time professional photographer. You've got to be willing to sacrifice certain things, money, basically, food. You've got to sort of tighten the belt now and again. And since I have a young family, I can't take that risk at the moment. So I maintain a part-time job in order to provide a bit of security for my family. Just a part-time job, though. I am spending more and more time on the photography as the business starts to pick up. And I think that was probably, or definitely part of why I started First Man Photography, was to try and introduce some security to what I was doing, because just to transition out from just doing photographs, because I think that's the way the world is going now, is into video, and I wanted to make that transition. So I thought I would create the YouTube channel, start creating tutorials, which is where I started off, and that's how the sort of First Man Photography developed out of the photography I was doing, to try and just create a pathway for me to become a full-time professional instead of just the semi-professional that I am at the moment. It's going well. I think hopefully I will be full-time by the end of this year, maybe into next year. We'll have to see how things go. You can help me with that growth if you would be so kind. Share my vlogs, like my stuff. I am very appreciative of what you've done for me already. It means a lot, and I'm very, very pleased that you're listening, you're watching, and commenting on the videos and things that I'm creating. So very humbled by that. So yes, I started doing the tutorials, and from there, I started to get more comfortable with the video. Like I said, I tried lots of different things when I was younger, and I'd created and shot a lot of video as well, again in sort of inspiration from my dad. And I've created a number of sort of little family type videos and little experimental type videos over the years. And that particularly became the case when I got an iMac, one of the original iMacs, when I was 18 years old. That had iMovie on it. I had a little camera. I can't remember where I got it from. Little video camera, and shot some stuff on there. That was on a digital tape that you then had to sort of plug in to the computer and download it as the tape spun round. So that's how I got that footage into iMovie, and then just sort of playing around with videos from about 18 years old as well. So I've always had those interests in moving into video, but as the sort of digital revolution has moved along, I wanted to do it more and more. And that's where the tutorials started off, because they were fairly straightforward to film, but the channel sort of transitioned more into doing the vlogs, partly because it gets me out doing what I love, and that is landscape photography. But I'm also really enjoying making the vlogs, because it's much more like filmmaking. You're making interesting 10 to sort of 15 minute videos that tell a story. They document how I'm doing my work, hopefully in an interesting, entertaining, and slightly educational way. But they're not tutorials like the sort of original videos that I did, and I've enjoyed that transition, and I hope to continue to do that. If you haven't checked out my vlogs yet, please do so. Head over to First Man Photography on YouTube or firstmanphotography.com, and you'll be able to find the vlogs there. I'm getting out and about once a week. So if you found me through iTunes or through just the podcast or TuneIn Radio or something like that, and you haven't seen my vlogs, please do head over there and check them out. I would really appreciate that. And I think you will enjoy them, especially if you're into landscape photography. But I think the way I do it is that there's something there for everybody, I would hope. So that's where I stand with my photography at the moment. I am doing wedding photography as well, so if you want me to shoot your wedding, please do get in touch in any way you see fit. If you know someone that is getting married, let them know, and I will shoot their wedding quite happily. I travel all over the UK, so it doesn't really matter where you're from. If you want me to come abroad, then we can talk about that as well. There obviously will be some travel costs, but I am willing to shoot your wedding, so please don't be afraid to get in touch if that's something that you're interested in. So another question came from Sebastian, and he was asking, how long does it take to film a vlog? It depends. Most of the time, it will take me about 2 days. No, maybe a little bit more. Two and a bit days to do a vlog. There's a little bit of planning. I've got to think about where I'm going to shoot, what the weather's doing. Then I will generally spend most of a day with travel and stuff, going out and filming the vlog. And then it takes about a day to edit the images, create the time lapses, and then edit the vlog together. So it's roughly a sort of 2 day task to do all that. You've then got to write some of the blurb, upload it to YouTube, things like that, and actually post and publicize the video. So that takes a bit of work as well. So it is a lot of work. So roughly 2 days in answer to that question. So another question, Chris asks, what mode should I be shooting my landscapes in now? The short answer is you should be shooting it in manual, or at least aiming to do it in manual. The longer answer is, and if I start with something that someone else said the other day, the longer answer is that some people will tell you that you can shoot in other modes. And of course, that is true. There was a video went up the other day on YouTube, and if you type in landscape photography, you'll probably be able to find it. And it came from a fairly well-known UK photography magazine. In that video, the person presenting it, one of the points he makes is that you don't need to shoot in manual, as if that was a good thing. He says most landscape photographers use aperture priority. I don't know how he knows that either, but I don't think that makes sense. It's kind of generating an excuse for photographers not to aim to shoot in manual. And the reason I say that is I think all photographers, from amateur to enthusiast, should be aiming to shoot in manual mode. The camera is slightly different to other technology, where you want to have your iPhone or something like that, or your TV, or your refrigerator or your heating. You want to automate as much of that as possible. And that's sort of what technology does. It saves us time. It does things for us, makes our lives easier, that kind of thing. That's not what I want from a camera. I want it to do different things. I want it to have Wi-Fi, GPS, all that sort of stuff, the new stuff that comes into cameras. But at the end of the day, your camera is a tool for you to create your artwork. And I don't understand, or I struggle to understand, if someone is getting seriously into photography, they don't want to master their tool. If you're not in that mindset, it just doesn't make sense to me. If you go into something, I think you should give it your all firstly and aim to get to the top. Whether not everyone's going to get to the top quite clearly, but you should aim to get, be the best that you can be. And with photography, you need to master that tool, and that is the camera. And in order to master it, you are shooting in manual mode because you're then controlling the full exposure triangle all on your terms. So we're talking aperture, we're talking shutter speed, and we're talking ISO. Manual focus is a slightly different thing because the focus system generally will do it a lot better than you can manually. But even then, in landscapes, you can focus manually quite happily. In the video, he said that you put it on aperture priority mode, you set your ISO manually. So you're controlling aperture and ISO manually, and then the camera in aperture priority mode will then set the shutter speed, determining which exposure is coming out of the meter. He's then talking about using exposure compensation to control the overall exposure. And that particularly was the bit that did not make sense to me, because then essentially you're just adjusting the shutter speed. So you're doing everything manually anyway, just in aperture priority mode. So you might as well just flick it over into manual and actually do everything in manual. It makes much more sense. And I think that's what everyone needs to be aiming for, because once you have mastered your tool as a photographer, you can then move on from that. You can stop worrying about settings and you can purely focus on capturing what you are visualizing. So you're thinking about your composition more, you're thinking about the lighting, you're thinking about all those things, the rules of photography, the leading lines, the rule of thirds, they're all more in the forefront of your mind to capture what you're visualizing, rather than fumbling around worrying about settings and what mode you're in. So that is genuinely how it happens, because when I initially started doing the vlogs, I wasn't including settings information. And part of that reason is because I genuinely don't give it that much thought at the time of shooting. It's kind of just becomes a natural process. I'm just using that tool without thinking about it that much, in the same way as an artist would use a paintbrush. So that's, I think, where we need to aim to be getting. Obviously, there is a progression. So you're going to start off in the automatic mode. You're going to move up to program mode, maybe, then up to aperture priority mode and shutter priority mode on some occasions if you might want a longer exposure. But eventually, you want to be trying to get into manual mode. So saying that you don't need to use manual mode, I think is true to some extent, but I think it is something you should be aiming for. And landscape photography is particularly good for learning how to use manual mode, because generally, unless you're sort of trying to capture a last minute sunset, is that you've got time to compose your shot, you've got time to think about your exposure, because the landscape isn't going anywhere. People move about. You have less time once you're shooting people. But with landscapes, it sits there and it's quite patient for you to get your settings right. So you can start with your ISO at 100. You can adjust your aperture to what you need to capture in your depth of field. So if you've got nothing quite close to your camera, I would start with f8, something like that. If your foreground interest is close to the lens, you want to be upping that to f11 or f16 to get everything into focus. Once you've done that, it's then just a case of, when we're thinking about the exposure triangle, it's then just a case of rolling the shutter speed up and down till you get the exposure that you want. And there's a number of ways that you can do this. You can look through the viewfinder and use the meter. You can use the histogram on the screen, which is probably the most accurate way. And also, you can use the screen itself. Just use the screen in live view mode and you can actually see the exposure on your screen. And that's quite an effective way to do it, especially if you've got the camera low down and you can't actually look through the viewfinder. That is a very appropriate way to do it. So landscape is a great way to learn how to do manual mode. And I think that is something we should be aiming for. If you're not using manual mode, I'm not having a go at you, but try it. You might find it's something that really helps you progress on your photography journey. So I think we'll do one more question. And Paul asks, are you going to be doing any YouTube collaborations with other landscape photographers? Yes, is the answer to that. I have already shot and filmed one with a very talented landscape photographer from Australia called Andrew Marr. Not Andrew Marr, the journalist in the UK. Andrew Marr, the exceptional landscape photographer from Australia. That should be going up in the next few weeks. I think that's going to be two really good videos for you to watch. I had an absolutely brilliant day. Going out and doing landscape photography is usually, for me, quite a isolating task. I like that. I do like spending time by myself. I think that's why, as landscape photographers, that's part of what makes you into a landscape photographer, is that enjoyment of spending time alone in the landscape. But it is very special going out and doing it with somebody, anybody really, but it was particularly enjoyable doing that with another YouTuber. We spent some time talking landscape photography. We got to know each other a little bit, and it was also really nice talking about YouTube for a bit as well. So I had a really great day. I think we've captured two really nice videos. There's some good images come out of that day as well, so I'm excited to be uploading that in the next few weeks. I would also like to do more collaborations because I enjoyed that one so much. I think it's something that people will really enjoy seeing, and I'd like to do more. If you would like to see me do a collaboration with someone, let me know who you would like me to do one with, and then maybe give them a shout as well and suggest they do one with me, because as photographers, we can be a little bit protective sometimes, a little bit jealous might come into it every now and again. I hope that's not the case. I don't think it's the case, but we can be funny as photographers. So I am very keen to do more collaborations because it was really, really good fun. Okay, so I think I will bring episode 2 to a close there. Please do make sure you check out the YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. And I would love to hear from you. What do you think of the podcast? Is it going in the direction that you'd like it to go in? Keep your questions coming in. I will answer more and more on the podcast. I can record these really easily, put more out if you want to hear more. If you're listening to this in your car or on your way to work or during a run and you're enjoying it, then please do let me know. I'd love to hear from you. I think Twitter is probably the best place in order to do that. If you've listened to the podcast already, like I said at the start, I'm very thankful. Please continue to do so, and I will speak to you on another one very, very soon. I'm Adam, and this is the First Man Photography Podcast.